Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, that we can teach your word, we can hearken to your word, and that we can learn how to obey your word through the faith that you've given us by the Lord Jesus Christ, to your everlasting glory, to our everlasting benefit. May you bless this study now, and bless thy holy scriptures to our everlasting benefit. In Christ's name I call upon thee. Amen. Faith. Prayer. The keynote is prayer. Prayer that we've been teaching on Wednesday nights here. The necessity of prayer that many overlooked and that many do not consider how prayer is a necessary part of the Christian life. And that without prayer, we receive nothing but conflict, affliction, and anguish and turmoil. Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed around the clock. He didn't have a set time. Sometimes it was from 3 in the afternoon to 6 p.m. Then it was from 6 p.m. to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 24 hours, 40 days of prayer and fasting in the wilderness. So that when we study prayer and faith, and we are looking at the study through the complete works of E.M. Bounds on prayer, using him and the Word of God, we will find that in any study of principles and the procedure of prayer, of all its activities and enterprises, that the preeminence, the first place, must of sheer necessity be given to faith. Why? Because without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is the initial quality that is found in the heart of anyone who wants to talk to the unseen. And God is a spirit and he's not seen. But we believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the prime method of seeking God diligently is found in prayer and through prayer. Therefore, that man who wants to talk to God the Holy Spirit must, out of his sheer helplessness, stretch forth hands of what? Hands of faith. That faith reveals that he must believe in the one that he cannot see and in where he cannot prove, because the one that can see is the one that can prove all things. So in the ultimate issue, we find that prayer is simply faith, claiming its natural yet marvelous prerogatives. It is faith that takes possession of an eternal inheritance that has been promised to us through the promises of God. And as such, we find that godliness, true godliness, is just as true, just as steady, and just as persevering in the realm of faith as it is in the province of prayer. Godly prayer by godly people to the God that is holy. Moreover, when faith ceases to pray, when faith stops praying, then both faith and prayer cease to live. Faith thrives on prayer. Faith will reveal prayer. Prayer reveals one's faith. It will show that one is persevering in the faith to the end of one's life. And faith that many don't understand, true faith in Christ Jesus, does what? It does many things. But first of all, it does the impossible. Why? Because it brings the Lord God Almighty to undertake for us the things that we cannot do in our own flesh. And the scripture says that with God, nothing is impossible. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. They are not possible with us, but him. So when we look at prayer and faith, we'll see how great they both are. But prayer is without qualifications or limitations. Because prayer reveals the power of one's faith that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we ask of God, by faith, in our prayers, we must believe that it will surely come to pass. Because God has said that whatever we ask of him, whatever he says, he will receive. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. We read the scriptures many times. Many don't take it to heart. Many don't even know the scripture exists because they do not read the Word of God. So we'll read the full passage where the Lord Jesus Christ says this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith. To this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things you soever desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither shall your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You are to believe that what you ask for you shall receive. Because you will have it if you truly believe it. But many pray with just futile lips, not believing that they're going to that which they ask for. Romans 14:23 says, speaking about faith and unbelief, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says this. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Why? Because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You cannot go to God doubting God. Because you're going in a sinful manner. And the Lord God will not answer that prayer. Prayer does many things. Prayer projects faith on God. And also on the world. And only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. James chapter 4, verse 8. James says this, through the Word. Draw close to God and He'll draw close to you. Moment. Come before Him with clean hands, pure hands, faithful hands, purifying your hearts from all sin and unbelief. But prayer, in true faith, will move God to do the things that you're asking. See, what we find in prayer that we don't understand, when we look at the scriptures reveal much. We find when Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree, he demonstrated his power . But they were committed not in order to kill, but to make alive. Not to blast, but to bless. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, but I say unto you, you don't have the right to curse. Only God can curse. And we do that by faith. But many don't. Family style pizza with all kinds of things on it that they speak about. And yet they have no faith that God will answer what is on that pizza. See, prayer says that we are to be specific in what we ask for. We are to be specific in what we seek from God. have the goal, we have to have a name. We have to have a purpose. Why are we asking for it? Why do we need it? What are we going to do with it? True faith realizes that which it is asking, realizes that the one who can give will give. And true faith appropriates, takes that which one is asking. Why? Because in faith and prayer, through prayer, faith becomes conscious of the divine, and finds an experienced communion with the fullness of the Godhead, a certain reality in their life. Faith and prayer will make you quite aware of God the Father, God the Holy Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So there's a question when we speak about faith and prayer. Is your faith grown or declining as your time of life goes by? Since you first came to Christ to your present moment, has your faith grown? Does your faith stand strong and solid, unmovable, as lawlessness continues to abound, as the wicked grow more wicked, and the love of many grows colder and colder? Does your faith hold fast and maintain its grip, its hold, as one's religion, as the religion of Christianity, becomes nothing more than a mere formality, and the worldliness that creeps into the church increasingly prevails? Does your faith reveal integrity, honesty, and truth? Does your faith reveal belief, honesty, and trust, confidence in the one who not only can save you and will save you, but the one who will grant your prayer requests when you come to him by faith in truth and sincerity? Jesus asked a greater question of his apostles in Luke 18:8. A question that needs to be answered. And he says this in Luke 18:8, speaking about faith. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? When he returns, will there be faith on this earth? Faith in him. We have to say yes, because if we're alive when he returns, we have faith. So he will find faith. How much faith? How many will be there on this earth when he returns that are truly faithful to him and obedient and loyal and walking in that faith, his faith? Because it's not our faith. We never had faith of our own. We've had abilities and a will to do certain things, talents and abilities that many mistake and take for faith, but that is not faith. So when we look at faith through prayer, and we look in prayer about faith, can we see, is the light of faith being trimmed in our lives, or is it being burning hot? Is it bright? As Christ is the light of the world, and we are the reflection of that light, is that light bright, burning, and sharp? Is that faith passionate? Is it full of zeal? Is the prayer passionate and full of zeal for the kingdom of God and his purposes? Well, many don't understand that the foundation of one's Christian character and the security of one's soul is faith, because without faith you cannot please him, and without faith there is no salvation. Faith and salvation go together. He who has saved and being saved shall be saved has faith. But the one who has no faith is not saved, and as long as he has no faith, hasn't come to Christ, he will not be saved. Faith is the foundation of one's Christian character and the security of one's soul. Faith. Through all adversity, trials, and tribulations, one's faith must be shown. And that faith must be strong. It must be growing. And that faith cannot fail. It must not fail you. Because when faith fails, when your faith wanes and fails, you open yourself up to great attacks and to destruction. Luke chapter 22. Jesus speaking about Peter. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, he says this. And the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Why? So that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here Jesus is praying for Peter. For the first specific reason that his faith does not fail, not only in the hour of temptation, but at any time. Which reveals that Peter also, in the next verse, was not truly converted to the ways of Christ. He was still independent in his thinking and his actions. And you're still prideful, doing his own thing his way. So, what we find here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is declaring a central truth. And what is that? That our faith, Peter's faith, our faith as Christians, must be guarded at all times. Why? Because when faith is broken down, when faith becomes shipwrecked, the foundations of one's spiritual life give away. They give way. And then the entire structure of religious experiences falls flat. Peter's faith needed guarded. Our faith needs to be guarded. We don't think about it. When we pray, we never ask. I don't hear. Very seldom do I hear, Lord, help us to guard our faith. We need your Holy Spirit to help us to guard the faith that you've given us. And here you find when Jesus prays for Peter's faith, that Peter would guard his faith and not fail, we find the great concern, the great love that Jesus has for the welfare of Peter's soul and his Christ's determination to fortify Peter's faith by what? By Christ's own all-prevailing prayer. I have prayed for you, Simon, that thy faith fail not. Jesus is praying for Peter. He prays for us this day. He intercedes before God the Father for us. We have the Holy Spirit, who make utterance and groanings that we can't pronounce and understand, to Christ, who goes to the Father. He prayed for us in John 17. He's praying for us right now, that none of our faith would fail. And as such, we, as brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the family of God on this earth, are to pray for our brothers and sisters also, ourselves, that their prayer, their faith does not fail, and that they would also learn how to guard their faith. We are to watch over one another. So when we read the epistles of Peter, we will find that in 2 Peter, Peter has this thought in mind when he speaks about groaning grace, that it is a safety measure in the Christian life, and it will imply fruitfulness, faith, guarding it, protecting it. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, and he reads it like this. 2 Peter chapter 5, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And beside all of this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? There are things that accompany salvation, and there are things that accompany faith. And what accompanies faith? Virtue. And what accompanies virtue? Knowledge. And what accompanies knowledge? Temperance. And what accompanies temperance? Patience. And that which accompanies patience is godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We pray for these things, for one another, because they go together. In the Christian life, in salvation, you'll find all of these characteristic traits here, these conditions, these things, as we find in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, the things that accompany salvation. Any of these are missing, salvation is incomplete, because they all are harmonious, they all work together with one another, they are never separated. As I said earlier, if you take faith out of salvation, there is no salvation. If you take obedience out of salvation, there is no salvation either. We'll find this out in the next hour. Faith, virtue, trust, belief, confidence. All our precious promises that are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, so that we may be partakers of the divine nature, Christ's holy nature. And in this chapter, and nowhere that you'll find in the teachings on prayer, the necessity of prayer, will you find that any of the writers move or urge one to do physical works to receive that which they are asking for. Prayer doesn't depend on physical works or deeds or gifts or bribes. Prayer depends upon the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of all gifts. But what we add to faith is what I've just spoken. Faith has to be diligent in what it is seeking. And to faith, you have to have knowledge of the one who you claim is your Lord and Savior. You have to have knowledge of what it means to grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ and his salvation. So when we study faith and we study prayer, we'll find that faith is kept alive and active, proactive, by what? Prayer. No prayer, your faith is as good as dead. Faith is kept alive. Walk of life, and in every step of faith, we'll find that it is accompanied by prayer. Now, what kind of faith creates powerful praying? It is faith which centers itself on a powerful person. Not on a sinning person, but it centers itself on Jesus Christ and his ability to do what we ask and to do greatly. And that is the faith which prays greatly. Because God is great and he does great things. Take a look and consider the leper and how he took hold and possessed and lean on the power of Jesus Christ when he said this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27-29. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, crying out to Jesus, you can make me clean. What do we find? He went to Jesus. No doctor could help him. No friend could help him. His faith, we find, was centered in what? In Jesus Christ's ability to do. And as such, how it secured the healing power that he needed. Just as when he said to the two blind men who came to him for healing, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Those men then left rejoicing because the eyesight was restored. Faith is why it's so necessary to walk with Christ. Why faith is so necessary to salvation. And it is faith that came from grace, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of ourselves, that Jesus was making clear that in that faith, he is inspiring faith to all of his followers in his ability to do exactly what he said that he would do. That with God, nothing is impossible. For he said in Matthew 28:18, "All power," he declared, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth." There is nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot do. He can do all things. He saves. He heals. Casts out demons and devils. He prays for us. He answers our prayer requests. He leads us. He guides us. He instructs us. He corrects us. He chastises us. He is faithful to us. He can do anything. He parted the Red Sea for the Israelites and the mixed multitude to go through. He saved Noah and seven others when he flooded the earth. He put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant, a reminder that he would never destroy the earth, any living creature on the earth, by flood waters again. It stands still today. We see it almost every time that we see rain. Beautiful rainbows. And only God can do it. But something that we fail to understand about faith, that faith is not just what many consider to be blind, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, faith has eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, hands to grasp, and feet to walk, to go, to do what Christ says to do. But faith, what many miss, is faith is not alone. It doesn't sit idly by. It doesn't wait. Faith is obedient to the Word of God, to the commandments of Christ, to the will of God. Faith is obedience. It is obedient to what it hears the Holy Spirit, to what He says, what is required of us, and faith follows in obedience the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's obedience, and how do we follow Christ? By faith. We trust Him. Wherever He says to go, come here, go there. That's what we are to do. It goes when commanded. When Jesus says, go and feed the hungry, we go and feed the hungry. Take, for instance, faith that was obedient. Man was born blind. He was at the pool of Siloam. And Jesus Christ told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Told him. What did a man do? He went. By faith, he obeyed the words of Jesus Christ, and he got healed. Peter, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walking on the shore commands Peter to cast his net. And Peter casts his net out into water without question and without doubting. See, faith doesn't ask questions when God commands faith to go. It doesn't doubt. It believes from the heart, it trusts from the heart, and has confidence from the heart in Christ, the God who is telling us, go. I don't have to ask Him why. We don't have to ask him why. When we hear the voices, go, we go. But how does faith keep the commandments of God? And how does faith do those things which are well-pleasing in His sight? By praying. By praying. A praying faith keeps the commandments of God and does those things which are well-pleasing in His sight. A praying faith. Look at Paul. Look at before we look at Paul, take a look at little Samuel in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, in the Old Testament. Samuel's hearing voices, and he thinks it's Eli, the judge. Eli realizes that it is God that is speaking to little Samuel. And he's just a young little rascal. And here's what we find. Samuel. And he goes like this. That when Samuel was asleep and he heard the voice the third time, Samuel said this, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord." And what did Samuel do? He went and told Eli what was going to happen to him and his sons. How they were going to die. He didn't wait. He didn't ask why he had to go. He didn't ask if Eli would get mad at him, if there'd be any consequences. He went. And then we have Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Paul on the Damascus road. Starting with verse 4. Paul fell to the earth after he was blinded by a blinding light that was higher and brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And Paul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord Christ said unto him, "Arise, get up, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now Paul didn't argue. It says, Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. He didn't ask the Lord, Jesus Christ, to heal his eyesight because he was blinded. "Lord, what will you have me to do?" So those that were with him took him into the city. And he was there for 3 days and three nights without eyesight, and neither did he eat or drink. Blind faith, waiting on him, obedient. No arguments, no doubting. Obedience helps faith. And in faith, in turn, helps one's obedience. Both work together in and through prayer. To do God's will is absolutely essential to true faith. Necessary to true faith. Faith. And faith is necessary to implicit obedience. How can you know God's will for you if you don't pray? How can you know God's will if you don't ask in and through prayer? You are to ask personally yourself, not to ask another to pray to God for you to find out what your will is. But many times, we don't understand faith in prayer, but faith, when it's called upon, we need to understand that we are to wait in patience before God. But many don't have the faith to be patient and persevering before God. They'll run ahead of God. Patience is a virtue. We just read it a little while ago. And faith that is patient, patiently waiting before God, is one who is prepared for God's seemingly like delays in answering to prayer. Sometimes God answers prayer before you're done speaking, like he did to Daniel. But many times, you'll wait. Paul's eyesight wasn't restored until many days later. He waited. Faith, obedience. Here's another instance of faith and obedience in action. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, we find that there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Behold, I am here, Lord, has the sense of meaning that I will obey whatever you say. I'm waiting for your command. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, get up, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. Now we find that Paul is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now Paul received this vision while he was praying. Have you ever seen a vision from God while you were praying? That it was going to be done to you, what you were asking for? He has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of God. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did Ananias refuse to go? No. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Now he calls him Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. And something that Paul wasn't praying for. And Ananias never thought about until God spoke to him. And you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, not days and weeks later, there fell from Paul's eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and then was baptized. Faith in action through obedience. Obedience in action through faith. Perseverance. Patience, in faith, through obedience, waiting for the answer to prayer. And it came. And more than what was asked for. More than what was asked for. God is rich. And he gives richly. He gives more than we ask for. Hebrews 11:6, But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not a rewarder, just anybody. But talking about rewards, to those who diligently seek him. And we seek him in the act of faith that shows that we are praying. By prayer, through prayer, we'll show our faith. Many times, there are delays in our prayer requests. And as such, we need to understand that they are times of testing. Will we continue in the faith? Will we continue in what we're asking for? Will we be obedient in all other things at the same time? We'll be obedient in faith and prayer. And as such, when one is, then faith and prayer show what it's made out of. It shows how strong and the backbone that it is made of. Take Lazarus. For instance, when we look in the book of Luke about prayer, faith, about delays, and God uses delays for testing, to test our hearts, to try us, to prove us. And we don't look at it that way. There's always a purpose in what the Lord does to us and for us. Luke chapter 11. About Lazarus. He heard word that Lazarus died 2 days after Lazarus was dead. But he delayed to go. He stayed for 4 days. 4 days later, he goes to, and they said to him, if you had been here earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus said to them plainly that Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent that you may believe. And so he went after 4 days, and he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, 4 days in the ground, dead. But many who seen Lazarus come forth didn't believe. And many were angry. But God will use delay, and that purpose here was to test the faith, so that faith would grow in others. Christ will always come. Do you have faith that it will come? The Word says He's coming a second time. Christ will come if patience is exercised and faith will hold fast. You pray on, you wait on, and you will not fail. Because Christ will come for you in His own good time. And the Word of God says that He'll come and He'll not stay. He'll not tarry. So what we find is in faith that we pray, in prayer and faith, we find that delay in an answer to our prayer requests is most often the test and the strength of one's faith. Your faith is tested, and as you go through that testing, it will strengthen your faith. It will strengthen your faith. And as such, one needs to understand that great patience is required in the times of the testing to come. And we're all going to be tested. Many are tested daily and they don't realize it. And faith will gather strength by waiting in prayer. Praying, waiting, waiting in prayer. Patience. Patience will always have its perfect work in a school of delay. Many times the Lord God has to do many things before giving the final answer to prayer. Things which are essential to the lasting good of the one who is requesting favor at His hands. And our last point will be this. We look at in Genesis chapter 32, verse 11. Jacob's prayer. He says this. He says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, I'm afraid of him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And you said to me that you will surely do me good and make my offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So what happened here? He prayed. And he prayed to be delivered from Esau. But before his prayer could be answered, God had to do a lot with him. He had to do much with Jacob. What was the first thing? Jacob had to be changed inwardly. Just as well as Esau had to be changed inwardly. Jacob had to be made into a new man before Esau could be made into a new man. Jacob had to be converted to God and all the will of God before Esau could be converted to Jacob. See, God does much that we don't understand. And we get that understanding as we search the scriptures and we pray and we study the scriptures and we exercise prayer and we exercise our faith. So we wait. In John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, "Truthfully, truthfully, I sent you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask in faith, and according to the will of God, and see if God will not do it." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the faith that you've given us, the faith of Christ that is in us, that leads us to salvation, that leads us down the straight and the narrow road, that we may walk through that straight gate into heaven itself. Thank you for the many times that you've answered our many prayers, for our earthly needs, physical needs, and for those spiritual needs that we definitely need. Thank you that we find in faith it dispels, it removes, it puts under all undue anxiety. Your word says that we are not to fret. We are not to be concerned about what we eat, what we drink, what will be worn, because you do take care of us. You know what we need before we ask for it. You'll feed us, you'll clothe us. You'll take care of us. It reveals that we are to live in the present time. And we are to regard that the day as being sufficient unto the evil thereof. Faith lives day by day. Obedience works day by day. And through it all, it removes all fears for tomorrow. Thank you for the faith that you give us, because it brings us great ease of mind and the perfect peace of heart. For your word says that you'll keep the one who has peace and faith, that you'll keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. And we thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen.